Thank you, Gisela. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. This is the ALAC monthly conference call on Tuesday, the 22nd of July, 2014. The time is 14:04 UTC, and we'll start immediately. And I can see here on the agenda, first, the adoption of the agenda and the call for any other business or amendments. You've got the link to the agenda that has been put to scroll back up on the Adobe Connect. Is there any other business to add to this long, looks like 2-hour agenda? Seeing no one putting their hand up, the agenda is adopted, and we can now go over to the roll call and apologies. Gisela, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. This is Gisela. On today's call on the English channel, we have Olivier Cretin-Leblanc, Tijani Benjamin, Maureen Hilliard, Sandra Hoferichter, Eduardo Diaz, Alan Greenberg, Holly Raich, Baron Gillen, Leon Sanchez, Dev Anantilukthing, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Otunte Otwene, Alan Skews, Yubel Kismontalvo, Garth Graham, Satish Babu, Loris Taylor, and Sebastian Bachelet. On the Spanish channel, we have Fatima Cambronero, Alberto Soto, Antonio Medina Gomez. Haja Watara will be joining us in 15 minutes on the French channel. We also have Julie Hammer on today's call. Apologies noted from Ali Al-Michel. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters today on the French channel are Claire. On the Spanish channel, we have Veronica and David. And on the Russian channel, we have Galina and Ekaterina. Could I please remind everyone to state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channels, and also to speak at a reasonable speed to allow for accurate interpretation. I hope I haven't left anyone off the roll call. If I have, would you kindly say your name now? If not, back over to you, Olivier. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. My name is Olivier Cretin-Leblanc, and I'd like to do two things. First, to welcome the new names that we've got on our list of participants today. This is the ALAC Monthly Call, where we conduct our monthly business and discussions in between all of our emails on the mailing list. And I hope that you will enjoy these 2 hours. It looks like it's going to be at least 2 hours long. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to recognize we now have Russian interpretation, and this is absolutely great to know, because that just makes it makes our conference calls more accessible to more parts of the world. I was also going to ask Gisela, is this the right time to announce perhaps the next call and the languages on the next call as well?
Olivier, yes, Gisela here. On the next call, we will be adding Chinese interpretation as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gisela. So more parts of the world covered. I note that Tijani Benjamin has put his hand up, so Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. It's just a point of order. I do wish and hope that this call will not last more than 2 hours. 2 hours is already very long for the concentration and for the follow-up, for people following the conference. And if we want to be efficient and effective, we need to make our calls shorter. So today we have two hours program. Please don't exceed 2 hours. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. I think a lot of people will agree with you around this call, and we might have in the future to think about splitting this call, perhaps making a bi-monthly ALAC call, but we're not at this level yet, and let's find out how long this call lasts by going immediately into agenda item number 3, the review of the Atlas 2 action items. And that includes the ALC action items of Friday, the 27th of June, 2004, the last call, the last face-to-face meeting. That took place in London. I invite you all to click on the action items, and you will see a whole page of them. We will just go through the ALAC-related action items, and I'll be asking staff to follow up directly with each one of the RALOs as far as the RALO action items are concerned. So first, on Monday the 23rd of June, there was an ALAC and regional leadership working session. Two action items out of that. The first one is for at-large staff to follow up with ICANN security staff on the possibility of preparing a beginner's guide on domain name security. Could I have an update from staff on this?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Olivier. This is Heidi. For the record, that is being followed up with. It's in progress.
Okay, thank you. Then the next one is for SAC to be given more than 30 minutes at the next ICANN meeting. That's, of course, in progress, since this will have to be put banked on the site. Could I just suggest that we mark this as being done, and for Heidi, when building the next ICANN meeting agendas, to make sure that this is remembered. Otherwise, we'll be having 3 months of repeating that same action item. Heidi?
Yes, it has been marked as complete. This is Heidi for the record.
Thank you. Now, next, the discussion with the communications team. I'm going to look through the action items that were complete as well, just to so that we have a record of them. And there, staff was to ensure that Chris Gift had all of the previous at-large community survey work on the at-large website need. Indeed, Ariel Liang has been in touch with Chris Gift, and the recordings have been found. So now we've got a lot of recordings and inputs for the at-large website needs. Could I just ask from staff a quick update? Is the work starting now on the at-large website? What's the process on this?
Hi, this is Heidi for the record. Staff, at-large staff, have been in touch with the web admin and IT staff on this. So it's going to be happening a little bit internally first, and then we'll, as soon as possible, start moving forward with this and getting the appropriate working groups involved on this.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Heidi. Next is the, so on Tuesday there were the General Assemblies, NURALO and URALO. I'll ask staff to deal directly with the RALOs on these. Then we had ALAC work, part one, hot topic number two, which was
Olivier.
ICANN accountability and globalization. Alan, yes.
On the NURALO one at the XCOM meeting, that item was unchecked because it had not, in fact, been done. It would be nice if it was continued to be unchecked.
Okay, thank you, Alan, for this. I don't know how that one was checked. Can you just follow up directly with staff on that?
I have. I'm just pointing out that it was rechecked again for some reason.
Ah, okay. All right, thanks. Let's move on then. So ALAC work part one, ICANN accountability and globalization. And so the first one was for Holly Reich, Alan Greenberg, and Chester Sung, and the Atlas II thematic group number four to draft an ALAC statement on enhancing ICANN accountability public comments. That was, that mark was done. Atlas staff to work with global stakeholder engagement staff to ensure collaboration and information exchange on at-large and global stakeholder engagement activities. That's done as well. The global stakeholder engagement team with web admin staff to look into the page which seems to have a redirect loop and cannot resolve. And the link of the page is there. The feedback on that is that this is an old page. The global partnerships doesn't exist anymore. So that can be ticked as being done. At large to make a request to relevant GSE staff that the next-gen program should be expanded to other regions. Now, it doesn't actually specify whom in at large should make the request, and I was just going to ask whether there was a thought that I would need to email a global stakeholder engagement staff, or should we get staff, at large staff, to pass this request on via their own channels regarding the next-gen program. Heidi, you've raised your hand. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Heidi. I have been in contact with Mandy about this, who knows most things about GSE, all things about GSE. And this program actually is continuing, and the way it's set up right now is that it's a rotating program. So, for example, in the LA meeting coming up in October, they're already in touch with local universities to have that program here. So, again, if the request is for this program to be geographically diverse for every meeting, i.e. meaning that they would be Afralo, you know, Africans, Europeans, et cetera, for each group, for each meeting, that would add significant cost. So I'm not quite clear on what expansion means. Olivier?
Yes, thank you for this. Extension, Mr. Olivier speaking, extension effectively means that the next-gen program would also take place in the other regions. So I think you pretty much answered the question here by saying that in Los Angeles, the next-gen program will continue with local universities around Los Angeles. I think that was the gist of the comments here. The other thought, of course, is to do with the fellowship program and ask that the fellowship program is expanded to other regions. The ALAC has made a statement in the past to include communities or indigenous communities, not necessarily in developing countries, but I think that's somehow a parallel process, and I don't know what the status is with regards to that as well. Although we have shown through our mentoring program that indigenous communities were represented, and also disabled communities as well. So I think this can also probably be marked as being done. Any comments from anyone on this AI? No. Okay, let's move then. Finally, ask that the speakers bureau list of potential speakers be expanded to include a database of well-known and vetted community experts that would be able to address communities in their local language or local cultures or by topic, rather than having it restricted currently to only staff and board speakers. I've heard mixed answers to this. I think Tijani has advised me that the Speakers Bureau has actually included him as a potential speaker for some activities that took place in Africa. Tijani, could you expand on this, please? Hello?
Sure, yes. Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Yes, Olivier. Under the request of the organizers of some events, the Speakers Bureau have appointed me, or I have funded my travel to those places where I was there to represent and a presentation about when sound.
Okay, thanks very much, Tijani. So perhaps...
Okay.
Yes, we can hear you. Perhaps we can... could staff just please clarify this then and make sure that this was just not just a one-off, but is actually a standing thing now where local communities could ask for a speaker from their immediate vicinity or from their area or someone that speaks their language. Did you start with that, Heidi?
Olivier, this is Heidi. Are you speaking again? This is for the Speakers Bureau?
Correct.
Yeah, no, I would need to look into that. I'm not managing that, so I'm happy to send an email to the relevant staff person on that.
Correct. Okay, thank you. Okay. Now, next is the ALAC work part two, and we have a proposal to make the Academy Working Group. Motion passed, no opposition. This has ended up on the action items. I think that's because there is a follow-up to this. And I was going to ask Sandra Hofrichter, who is on the call, to let us know about the follow-up that is required now after this motion was passed when we met in London. Sandra?
Yes, can you hear me?
Perfectly well, Sandra. You have the floor.
Hello? Okay. Thank you very much. I would very much support the transition from an ad hoc working group to a standing working group. We should ensure that it's a cross-community working group, because I think the strength of this working group came because it was not only from the at-large but also from the community. So any development in this regard will have my full support. There have no been other follow-up on this issue, because I know Heidi, who was assisting in this matter, was on vacation, and I was swamped with other work as well.
Okay, thanks for this update, Sandra. Now, perhaps can we then modify this this action item and clarify it by basically making the request that this working group should be changed from an ad hoc working group to a standing at-large working group. But you mentioned also the community aspect, since we have other people that have joined that are outside or not immediately within our community. Could I ask you to follow up with Heidi and then make a proposal for the next ALAC call for the ALAC to be able to change that working group into an a standing working group, and not only that, bearing in mind the community aspect to it.
It's Sandra Hoferichter speaking. Yes, I will be happy to do so.
Okay, excellent. So let's put this on the side now, and let's move on. The at-large capacity building working group, at-large staff to collect the data regarding the pre-Atlas II capacity building webinars, and at-large staff to also ask IT to check on the number of downloads of the pre-Atlas II capacity building webinars. Certainly, these webinars have been a real success by their content and their helpfulness. So we need to be able to follow up and make sure that they're stored somewhere, that they can be easily found by newcomers and by our community, and to be able to bank on those effectively. Heidi, could I have an update on this, please?
Olivier Giesler here.
Yes, Giesler.
I just had a moment where the audio glitched, but I think it's with regards to the capacity building webinars, the download of the MP3. I'm just waiting for IT or web admin to get back to me on with regards to the number of clicks that the audio received post-webinar. And I will send an email around with the attendance, and I know Tijani's waiting for that. I am just desperately looking for it in my inbox, and I will get that out to everyone after I've consulted with Tijani just to put the data together. Thank you.
Thank you for this update, Gisela. And over to Tijani Benchemal.
Yes. For the previous item, you said that ALAT will change the nature of the nature of the.
Tijani, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We can't hear you very well at all. Could you speak closer to the mic, perhaps?
Sorry, you're right. You're right. So, okay, now you will hear me well.
Very well. Yes. Go ahead, Tijani.
So I said that I wanted to the ICANN Academy. You said that ALAC wants to change the nature of this working group. I don't think ALAC has the ability to do so.
I think we might have lost Tijani. So, in the absence, I can't hear Tijani at the moment. I don't know whether anybody else can, but Academy Working Group, the start of it was an at-large ad hoc working group. We're just dealing with the at-large part of the working group. Of course, the wider working group is where there's a bit of a complicated story, since it's not a cross-community working group as such, and this is why I asked Sandra to follow up directly with staff on this.
Okay,
and then they'll be able to make a proposal for the next call, bearing in mind the various facets to this working group. Okay, next I see, I can't hear it, Tijani, so next is Fatima Cambronero.
This is Fatima speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can indeed. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. This is Fatima speaking. For the record, I just wanted to ask a question that perhaps we could take to the capacity building group, but I raise this question so that we can have it open. Seeing that the previous webinars before the Atlas meeting in London did work properly and there were a lot of people involved in it and participating in it, my question is if we can organize them from now on, if we can have one webinar a month, considering the issues that we saw in Atlas, that we saw they were a lot more interesting for our community, or we believed we had to deepen more on these issues. So I think we would have a very large audience attending those webinars because they are very much needed, and it is a time when all of the ALSs and all the RALOs can interact and build community with these initiatives. So I open this possibility. I am also a member of the capacity building group, so perhaps we can discuss it there as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Fatima. And yes, this follow-up work would have to be the work of the capacity building working group. I've heard many people in London saying that they would like to see more capacity building webinars taking place between ICANN meetings and certainly on a monthly basis, if not even on a weekly basis for some of them. And I think the discussion will need to take place in the capacity building working group, and there certainly was support for having these regular webinars taking place. Perhaps a meeting very soon of the capacity building working group would be a good first step forward to be able to discuss this and propose a schedule of capacity building webinars for the community, especially
Olivier.
Following up on our thematic working groups, etc.
Olivier?
Yes, Tijani, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, because I have a problem with my... do you hear me now? Okay.
Yes,
I have a problem with my... I have a problem with my Adobe Connect, so I am speaking from the telephone. Regarding the capacity building program for the future, as I told you recently, since we finished the preparation of the ALSS for the summit, now we will come back to our regular work. And one of the items or one of the projects of the capacity building working group is to do webinars, especially for the emerging issue, for especially now for the transition, for the accountability, etc., etc. Anything which is in discussion in ICANN, we will try to organize webinars for it so that people, our ALSs, will be aware and will be informed and will be perhaps more even educated about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And so will you take on the task to organize a call of the Capacity Working Group very soon, please?
Yes, please. Yes, sure. I told you that, Olivier. It will be very soon, very soon.
Okay,
now, you know that it is summer now. You know that it is summer now. It is Ramadan in our region. So it will be done most likely at the second half of August.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Tijani. You mean the meeting of the Capacity Building Working Group will be in the second half of August?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm not so sure that you can wait that long. And the concern I have is that, of course, the lull in activity, which we have in the Northern Hemisphere, is not such a lull of activity in the Southern Hemispheres, and I'm a bit concerned that we will lose the interests of some of our members if capacity building webinars don't start as soon as possible. I thought perhaps capacity building webinars could start in September, but certainly the preparation work and the preparation of the actual schedule of webinars could take place over the month of August, I think, even starting at the beginning of the month of August.
Olivier, as I told you, the beginning of August will be the end of Ramadan and the fest, the religion fest in our region in general. My fear is not that I am not able to work. My fear is that people will not be following our work. So I prefer that we finish this phase and we start. It will be the first week will be what I said now, the end of Ramadan and the Eid, etc. And the second week we can start working. No, in the second week. That's why I said at the second half of August. And you said it's a long time of inactivity, Olivier. I'm sorry, but we were very active all the period before the summit. And from the summit to now, it's only how, from London to now, what? How long it is? It is not a very long period of inactivity. Anyway.
Okay. Thanks for your feedback, Tijani. Yeah, I thought that because we had so much activity before the summit, we were now really in gear and ready to step up and have more activity. But okay, maybe I'm asking a bit too much. All right, that's understood. Thanks for this update, Tijani. Let's move on through our list of action items. And so the next action item is incorporation of the Atlas to thematic working groups into the existing at-large working groups. Three action items there which have actually changed a little bit, but I'll read through the three and then add a little bit more information to them. The first one is for staff to send a reminder to all Atlas to thematic groups to join existing at-large working groups. The second one is for Atlas II participants to have a discussion with the 2014 NOMCOM leadership. And the third one is for at-large standing groups based on the results of their analysis with message personalization needed for best results. A bit cryptic, there are actually two distinct action items. The first one is for the Atlas II participants to have a discussion with the 2014 NOMCOM leadership. And I understand that this, as soon as the 2014 NOMCOM leadership, sorry, that's the current leadership, was that not done already? I thought that there was something that was done on that. Though we happen to have the NOMCOM leadership on the call, could I ask Cheryl Langdonor to please explain this one to us, please?
Olivia, Cheryl, for the record here. As far as I'm concerned, this has been done, but perhaps there was more. But I've also specifically reported back to you as requested on the performance list of all of our current 2014 NOMCOM as well. So I thought this was done.
Okay. Yeah, I recall, it's Olivia speaking, I recall that you were in the room and there was a discussion with the current leadership, and perhaps this one should be the next leadership, the 2015 NOMCOM. Let's have this change to 2015. So as soon as we know the next leadership, then there'll be a call that will be set up. Now, with regards to the thematic working groups and the standing at-large working groups, I have sent an email to all of the chairs of the thematic working groups with a carbon copy to the rest of the leaders that arranged for these working groups and asked for them to fill a matrix, an online matrix on a Google Doc to identify what relevant the work of their working group was to the at-large working groups, so as to then be able to send more personalized invitations to participants. So we don't actually ask participants and say, well, now you can join at-large working groups. We actually hold their hands and say the working groups which relate to the thematic working group that you have attended are primarily these ones, and you are encouraged to join them. So far, I haven't had any feedback. I've sent a follow-up. Hopefully by the next call, we will have had all of the action items actually ticked, and we will have sent out the invitation to participants to join the at-large working groups. I've also asked for the at-large working group front pages to follow a specific format so as to make them more easily understandable by newcomers. And also, I've individually asked the chairs of the current at-large working groups to provide updates for those who haven't got an update on what their working group has been up to provide an update on their working group's activity for any newcomer to be able to find out what are the current hot topics in the working groups. And hopefully, we're by holding the hand of the participants and accompanying them to the at-large working groups, we will have a growth in working group participation and therefore a growth in at-large activities. Let's move to the Wednesday, the 25th of June. And there were several general assemblies on that day. Staff will follow up directly with the RALO leaderships on those. On the Thursday, the ALAC and regional leadership wrap-up meeting had one action item, and that's for staff to incorporate the text from Thomas Lovenhaupt's submission to Thematic Group 5 regarding end-user organizations' involvement in city TLD applications in a wiki page for at-large recommendations for the second round of new GTLD. Now, such a page already exists. And I'm putting the reference of this page onto the Adobe Connect chat. And Fatima, I will follow up with you regarding the document that I sent. We'll check afterwards. Now, the Adobe Connect chat has got the state of the new GTLD expansion program. And on there, it says on the 19th of December 2013, the ALAC leadership team charged the ALAC's new GTLD working group with creating a statement on the current status of the expansion program, including analysis of the program and possibly recommending immediate measures to improve the program from the end user perspective. That was a small thing that it wasn't follow up as such, because I think this is more of a long-term thing. We first need to find out how the GTLD expansion program has been rolled out, and until the announcement of a new round or a future round is effected, we don't really know what our time scale is. But this, to me, with the new GTLD working group being in charge of this, looks like the natural home for any follow-up ideas and topics that we need to start listing for the working group to be able to work on as soon as the process starts. I know it's Alan Greenberg that's put his hand up, so Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'll just note that when I get to my GNSO liaison report, there's an item there that's relevant.
Okay. Thanks very much, Alan. Any other comments on this process forward? Seeing no one put their hand up, so I'll ask staff to remember that page and to make sure whenever we have suggestions and follow-ups on this topic to fill it all up, fill that page up as time goes. So when we finally get to moving on the next round of new GTLD preparations, the new GTLD, yes, preparations, then we'll at least have some material that we can work on. And I note that Dave has put that this is ramping up because there is a call for volunteers for a new GTLD group, and that might be what Alan will be speaking to us in a moment. Now, back to the action items. On Friday, the 27th of June, an Atlas II organizing committee call is to be organized in order to hold a debrief on the organization of the Atlas II and to develop best practices for future summits. As you've all heard, The Atlas II was very well received across all of ICANN. We've had a lot of very positive feedback. And Fadi Shehadi, in his meeting with the ALAC, mentioned that this is something that should take place again, perhaps even in 3 years' time, which means we need to get working now. But it also means that in 3 years' time, there might be a lot of new people involved in the organization of the Atlas III at that point. So it would be really helpful to have these practice. This call is moving forward and is going ahead. And Gisela has already made the doodles, etc., to organize this. Gisela is to work with the Atlas II Return on Investment Working Group in creating a survey on the Atlas II to get feedback from summit participants on the various Atlas II activities, feedback on the thematic groups, the mentoring program, the plenary, etc., etc. Gisela, how are we doing on this?
Olivier Gisela here. This is in progress, working on it with Cheryl. I'll catch up with her this week because we need to now get the information from our meeting team. So we will keep you posted. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. Next is Eduardo Diaz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Eduardo. I just want to add to this action item maybe a recommendation that to have the Atlas II ROI to open an action item to be standing in the ALAC monthly meetings so we can keep track of that work on our monthly meetings within ALAC. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I finished.
Cheryl, for the record, I'm in agreement on that. Have we lost Olivia?
I think we lost Olivia.
No, I muted myself. Sorry. Okay. Yes, it happens even to those who keep on speaking, but there you go. Now, next, at-large staff, in consultation with the ALC and Atlas II organizing committee leaders, will organize a post-Atlas II debrief community webinar. That's pretty much like the follow-up. That's also in progress. The next ALC, at-large leadership team agenda, is to include an item on Atlas II feedback and debrief. Indeed, took place, and this is where we're now pushing forward with this. I note that Leon has put his hand up, but Leon, I'll hand the floor over to you. Leon Sanchez.
Thank you very much, Olivier. I'm wondering, will there be some kind of mechanism or for us to consider what Fadi told us about not waiting another 5 years to have another Atlas. What do you think it could be done to analyze whether we should wait another 5 years or maybe have an in-between Atlas like on the next 2 years or 3 years' time? That would be my question.
Yes, thanks very much, Leon. It's Olivier speaking. What I would suggest is that the follow-up organizing committee call decides on a follow-up on this. Like, I can't think of just something right now and then, but that's one of the things that the organizing committee will need to decide and to work on. Perhaps contacting Fadi, perhaps a follow-up, I wouldn't say a statement, but certainly a correspondence from the organizing committee providing further details. And I also think that the Return on Investment Working Group when it publishes its survey, would also be something that we need to follow to ICANN leadership so as to show show the positive responses we've had so far. Let's have hope. Okay, let's move on. The ALC is to discuss the issue of ALAC liaison to the GAC. Yes, ALAC liaison to the GAC prior to the ICANN 51 meeting in Los Angeles. This is an action item. The ALC discussed this, and there is an item later on in this agenda, in the current calls agenda, very short item, but it's going to be discussed later on today. And staff just sent a call for membership of the IVN working group that's still going to take place. It hasn't been affected yet, but I think that there will be a call for membership for all of the working groups, but in particular for the IVN working group, since we, if I can remind you all, we saw a lot of activity taking place in the various scripts, whether they were Cyrillic scripts or Arabic scripts or Chinese or Korean, and the many different scripts that are currently being worked on as far as internationalized domain name variants are concerned. And by the size of our community and the diversity of our community, we found that there were a lot of, we can't say that they were experts, but we had a lot of people using those scripts that could certainly provide the end user input and experience into this into the current process that the IVN working group is working on. And that's all the action items that we have. There were quite a few of them, so they took a little more time than originally anticipated. And so we'll move directly now to the review of the current at-large structure applications. I'm not sure who deals with this now. There was a time when Natalie was dealing with the applications and then Ariel as well, but neither are on the call. So I'm not sure who. Is it Gisela who will take us through those?
Hi, Olivier. This is Heidi.
Oh, hello, Heidi.
Hi. Hi, yes. Hi. So, yes, both of the staff that are doing the at-large structure are not on the call. There are, I've seen emails from Natalie about following up with the outstanding regional advice. So that is, those are in progress. And I know that the other ones that she's doing due diligence on, she's continuing to work with.
Okay. Thank you for this update. For this update, Heidi. And what I was going to do then, just for the record, is to read through the current, well, firstly, welcome the recently certified ALSs from ISOC Yemen, ISOC Portugal, ISOC Venezuela, and the Manitoba E-Association. Great to see so many new members and new structures joining at large and certainly reaching new places around the world. Applications awaiting regional advice, the Open Source Foundation for Nigeria, the Internet Society Chad chapter, the Internet Society Mauritius chapter, the Online News Association. And then there were applications that were pending at the moment, the Instituto Panameño de Derecho y Nueva Tecnologías, Our Rights, University Community Partnership for Social Action Research. And if you are interested in seeing the application and certification process, there is a link on the agenda that will take you there. So we will have an update in the next call on all of these applications. Next, the reports. And these are the at-large reports from the working groups, the reports from our RALOs and liaisons, and also the ALAC monthly, well, the monthly reports that we have. We'll just go through the RALO secretariat, the RALO secretariat reports are all linked to the page which is shown on the agenda. And I must thank all of the RALOs for having updated their secretariat reports. It's always helpful for newcomers to be able to find out what is taking place in their regional at-large organization and in their region. Now, with regards to the liaison reports, we don't go through all of the liaisons. We usually go through the three bylaw-mandated, or actually the four bylaw-mandated reports, liaison reports, and we'll start this time around with the GNSO liaison report, and our GNSO liaison is Alan Greenberg. So, Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you, but first my hand was up for item number four.
Okay. Go ahead then.
We had some ALS decertifications in process. Several of them were put on hold. Can we try to make sure that we have action items to follow up on those, because they seem to otherwise disappear off our radar completely?
thanks very much for this, Alan. And I think the ball is firmly in the staff hands at the moment to follow up on that. And that's it's a very good point that you made, because, yes, otherwise we will forget about them. I think they're primarily the Naralo applications. Is that correct?
And I believe there was one other one. I can't remember if it was Europe or Lacrallo, but there was one other one we put on hold.
I know there was a Costa Rican one, but...
That may have been the one. I don't remember.
Thanks for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. So the Costa Rican one, as far as I understand, Lacrallo leadership has gotten in touch with that Costa Rican organization and has managed to find a new person to deal with in that organization. So it looks as though that's still an at-large structure and is not being delisted. Alberto Soto, you have the floor to comment on this, please.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. That's right, Olivier. The ALS from Costa Rica was removed. I don't know if it was before London. It was not decertified. We have a new representative. We just have a minute problem with emails, but I am still in contact with that, and this ALS is active.
That's great. Thank you very much for this, Alberto. It's Olivier speaking, and it's appreciated that you went the extra mile to contact this organization as a last issue before proceeding forward. And I really appreciate the care with which the RALOs have gone out of their way to try and find out what had taken place with the missing ALSs as such. So, staff, could you please just take an action item or make note for the person dealing with the with those certifications and decertifications to follow up on the two or three, I think they were the Naralo decertifications, which need to be to also be affected one way or other. Cheryl Langdonor, you have the floor.
Thank you. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I just had to take myself off mute. Just looking at this page here, is there a second page to this PDF for reports from Working Group RALOs and Liaisons? Because unless there is, I'm afraid this particular page is not the one that is a copy from where the active working groups have been putting their actual monthly reports, for example, the ROPs, which I know is retired, still has its subsection of metrics active, and that's nowhere to be seen here unless my eyes are failing me somewhat just desperately. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Cheryl. I'm unable to answer you, and so I'll have to resort to staff to let us know, because they're the ones who have organized this whole thing.
And hi, this is Heidi, and I think we need to get back to you as well. Thank you, Cheryl, for pointing this out. We will investigate that.
Okay. Thanks very much for this.
Happy to help.
All right. So going back now to agenda, well, we are already back in our agenda item number five, the report. Over to Alan Greenberg for the GNSO liaison report.
Thank you. We're a bit early this month. This is a meeting on Thursday, but the meeting last month did have a number of items that I've highlighted for ALAC attention. And for those who don't look at my GNSO reports regularly, if you go to them, there at the top is highlighted in red and often bold items that need review. So if you look at that, you don't have to even read the whole thing if you want to look for the issues that are really important and urgent for ALAC's consideration, ALAC at large. There are four items this time, unusually. The first is that the GNSO has started a discussion group on, and note the word, it's not a PDP, it's a discussion group, on trying to identify what the issues are that will need focus in any future review and probably a PDP of the GTLD program prior to a second round. So this is the first go-around at trying to identify issues. While things are still fresh in people's minds, I would strongly suggest that at-large people who have an interest in this subject get involved. Yep. The second is the one on the, which Olivier already mentioned, that the GAC has approved on a one-year basis a liaison from the GNSO. This is to try to address the lack of information flow between the two and to try to get the GAC more involved in PDP and policy development processes as we go forward. There's currently a call out for the liaison, and that is expected to be filled prior to the Los Angeles meeting. We can talk further about the implications of that for ALAC when it comes up on our agenda later on. Based on the letter from the GTLD policy, the board's GTLD policy committee, the GNSO is looking at specific issues related to Red Cross and IGO name protection. There has been a lot of discussion and controversy over exactly what the GAC, what the board committee asked for, because the interpretation of some people on the GNSO has been quite different from what, in my mind, the wording clearly asked for. That will be discussed at this week's meeting, and Chris Despain has been asked to participate to try to ensure that we are addressing the correct issue and not complete red herrings. It is not at all clear that there is a rule in place that allows the GNSO to reopen a PDP for measures that have not yet been approved by the board, and that is being considered. It is not clear that this will be done because there is some disagreement on council, and of course, if it is done, it's not clear what the reconvened committee will decide. That notwithstanding, in the communique out of the London meeting, the GAC very, very clearly and quite concisely said the Red Cross decision should not be subjected to or conditioned upon a policy development process, which basically says, GNSO, you're not allowed to follow the request of the board committee. So that, too, has some interesting implications. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Alan. Are there any questions or comments on Alan's report? Seeing no one put their hands up, I'll just remind everyone then to be making sure we look very closely at the GNSO working groups that require at-large involvement, and we will resort to Alan to let us know with time if there is any requirement for having more people from our community on the working groups. They are quite difficult working groups sometimes, as you can see from Alan's report. Lots of acronyms, lots of long historical discussions that have taken place, lots of follow-ups, but it's good to be able to cover for each other. And I hereby also recognize some of our members being on GNSO working groups and spending their days and their nights on some of these calls. Now, the next report is from our CPNSO liaison, and I will therefore ask for Maureen Hilliard if she is on the call. Is she there? Yes, she is. Maureen Hilliard, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Maureen, for the record. Okay, briefly, firstly, the CCNSO, like the ALAC, were quite preoccupied during most of the interim period with the formation of their coordinating group for the IANA issue. And during this, after the last meeting, Keith Davidson, who was one of the representatives on that group, fed back some information about that meeting, and he attended remotely. He couldn't get to the meeting himself. But importance, I think, to the ALAC was the first meeting of our London week, which was the ALAC CCNSO meeting, leadership meeting. And out of that meeting came an action item, which will have Des, Ron, Sherwood and I working on a database linking our ALSs with their CCTLDs, and we're working on sort of like some sort of program where we can encourage our ALSs to liaise and learn a little bit more about what their CCTLDs are doing in their countries if they don't already know. So that's about it. If there's any questions? Oh, they didn't have a CCNSO meeting. Yeah.
Okay,
that was
thanks very much for this, Maureen. Are there any questions or comments regarding the country code name supporting organization activities? Now's the time to ask. There isn't any hand up, so let's then move on to the ESSAC liaison report, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. And for this report, we have Julie Hammer.
Thank you, Olivia. Julie Hammer speaking. Just a couple of things to mention. One of the working groups that the ESSAC had, on which I was a member, called the Identifier Abuse Metrics Work Party, has actually determined that the work that it has been looking at is not going to result in an ESSAC report, and that work party has been deactivated. The original scope, which envisaged making some useful statements on abuse metrics, has in fact been somewhat too difficult to achieve, and so that work party has now, I'm saying deactivated, because if it deems that it has something useful to say in the future, then it may well be reactivated. The primary focus of the ESSAC, like everybody else, has been on the IANA transition, and ESSAC is working on three reports that it is hoping to publish as soon as possible. Two of them are trying to put in place background information that will assist the work parties and or the coordination group and the cross-community working groups working on IANA transition, one being a description of IANA transition function, a description of IANA functions, and the other being a discussion of the technical functions from a contractual perspective. And the third document is aiming to make some statements about the principles for transition and highlight some issues and considerations. I'm not on that work party, but there's been an enormous amount of work going on for many weeks now, and hopefully that will be those documents will be published in good time for them to be useful for the process. The IANA coordination group, as it now called, had its meeting in London last week, as you're all well aware, and the ESSAC representatives on that are Patrick Falstrom and Ross Mundy. I know they were both there, but whether they were there in person or attending remotely, I'm not really sure. And finally, as you're also aware, I'm the ESSAC rep on the charter drafting team for the cross-community working group for the IANA transition that has been facilitated by the GNSO and CCNSO, currently with representation from ALAC and ESSAC. And I will leave it to the ALAC reps to give an update on that. That's Tejani and Leon. So that concludes my report. Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you very much for this, Julie. Are there any questions or comments?
from anyone on the call regarding the ESAC liaison report? Seeing no one put their hand up, then our last bylaw mandated liaison is the .mobi liaison. That's Murray McCursha. I spoke to Murray before this call. There hasn't been any additional activity with regards to .mobi. .mobi has a policy board that includes Murray on this, so our .mobi liaison on this board. They had one meeting that took place a few months ago and nothing since. And Murray, although having tried to find or to meet with the people from .mobi in London, did not find anyone specifically to .mobi itself. So there's nothing new to report on that. Since time is of the essence and we are already late due to the amount of activity and number of action items we've had, let's move to the new business and the items for decision. And we will review the recently adopted ALAC statements and then look at the current statements or endorsements being developed by the ALAC. There were three recently adopted statements. There was one on board member compensation, which was a support of Alan Greenberg's earlier statement in that public comment process that effectively asked for volunteers to be treated well. I think that's in a jiffy, it's just one way to say it. There has been no feedback on this. This is a public comment process, so we don't expect direct feedback on that. There was one statement on the ICANN draft 5-year strategic plan that was drafted by by David Antilixing and Rafid Fatani. And this spoke about various points, including the lack of translated versions of the document and certain focus areas which needed to be reinforced or clarified. And there was one on the FY15, the fiscal year 15 operating plan and budget. And this one was drafted by Tijani, and that was passed as well, and that touched on several points with regards to ICANN finances, and that, of course, was done with the help of the finance, the at-large finance and budget subcommittee. Now, the four statements that are currently being developed are as follows. There's the universal acceptance of top-level domains draft roadmap. The ALAC is currently voting on this statement. The statement was drafted by Satish Babu. Great to see more people now starting to pick up the pen and take on the responsibility of collecting input from the at-large community, putting it down on paper, preparing a second version of it after having taken in the comments from the community. There is a report, statement on reports supporting the domain name industry in underserved regions. And here, Tijani Benchama and Alan Greenberg have drafted a statement, and this is currently under comment from At Large. The closing date for this comment period is very short because we kind of missed the boat on this one, unfortunately, by some technical error. ICANN moved from one website to another website, and Ariel was monitoring the older website page, and then the comment did not appear on the older website page. Although other public comment periods appeared on there, this one did not and was only updated on the new one, so we missed the boat on it. However, after speaking to the staff member in charge of this process, we were told we still have time to bring in our comments, and so this is drafted and closing tomorrow. So if you have any comments on this, please have a look at it immediately after this call and make your comments on the draft that was submitted there. Then two statements that deal with the introduction
Olivier.
Of two character. Yes? Alan, yes, you have the floor. Sorry, I didn't see your hand up. Alan Greenberg.
That's okay. Just to note, it doesn't close tomorrow. It closes today in 9 hours. So far, there have been no comments.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for this. Yes, of course. Sorry. It's going to be sent tomorrow, but of course, it closes today at 2359 UTC. I stand corrected, Alan. Thank you for reminding us. So that makes it ever more urgent to review immediately after this call. Now, introduction of two character domain names. There have been a number of requests made by various applicants. There are two public comment processes that are open there, and Dave is drafting a statement. Dave and Nancy Nickling is drafting a statement that should cover both of these. There has been a lot of discussion on the ALAC mailing list and on the at-large mailing list as well regarding this point, because we don't seem to have a consensus on something that goes in one way or another. But Dave, could you just take a minute to take us through this, please?
sorry, thank you. David Antilaxing speaking. So the two public comments deal with the introduction of two character labels at the second level within within new GTLDs. So various registries are applying for exceptions to this rule. Now, the concern I was raising was that the reason why they're prohibited is that these two character ASCII labels are considered that in order for these to be ever introduced, they have to be the relevant government or country code TLD operator have to be consulted before they are delegated. So various registries are applying for exemptions to this rule. For example, by saying that they will not use the two characters that exist in the ISO 3166 Alpha 2 list, which is the list of by which CCTLDs are derived from. My concern was that even if that seems harmless to allow that to happen, what happens when a future country or territory is created and there are new additions to the ISO 3166 rule? And what many persons feel is that this restriction of two character ASCII labels at the second level should not be any restriction. And is there really a compelling user interest in preventing two character labels from being prohibited at the second level? I think I've tried to summarize the gist of the discussion there. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much for this, Dave. Any comments or questions on this? When do you expect to have a first draft out there, Dave? I know the closing period is very soon for the initial comment period, so it's probably likely that we might have to file something, if we file something, during the reply period.
This is Dave. I'll try my best to try to do something by the end of today or first thing tomorrow.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Dave. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Yeah, I just wanted to note this is one of the very few issues where there has been very diverse opinion and contradictory opinion within the ALAC and at large. And that's something I consider relatively healthy rather than us always just agreeing with everyone all the time. And I think this is a good sign. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Alan. Let's move on to the currently open public comments, which the ALAC has so far decided that there would be no statement, but which could be changed. Funnily enough, one of the points which appears there was actually moved from currently open with no statement over to Devan Antilixing drafting a statement. And indeed, that's the first line under currently open public comments, introduction to a character domain name in the new GTLD namespace. I would ask staff to remove it from there. The same thing underneath, these are no statements necessary at the moment. If anyone thinks otherwise, could they please notify at-large staff or notify me or the ALAC mailing list or the at-large mailing list indeed. Dot Paris, introduction of approved launch program. Dot WED, registry agreement amendments, introduction of third-level domain sale. .NGO and .ONG, registry services evaluation process request, introduction of technical bundling. These are all amendments that new detail of the applicants are asking of the board and which the board has now put out for public comment. And finally, a study to evaluate solutions on the submission and display of internationalized contact data. We ask the internationalized domain name, the IDN working group, and we also ask the registrar on issues working group, and neither decided that there was a need for a statement on this. So that's the current state of our policy development activities and policy discussion activities. You're all very much encouraged to look at this. There is a link to the policy advice development page. This is a page just under agenda item 6. It's your policy advice development page. This is where the action happens. This is a constant pipeline with staff updating this page on a daily basis. And from there, you will be able to see not only today's activity, but all of the past statements that have been built by the ALAC. And my goodness, is it a very, very long page indeed now. Moving on to agenda item number 7, and that's an item for decision, the establishment of an at-large working group on accountability. The question is simple. Should the ALAC create a new at-large working group on accountability or charge the Future Challenges working group with this issue? Now, first thing to note is that there is an ICANN, as you know, there is the IANA Stewardship Transition Working Group, which deals with the IANA Stewardship Transition process, but this process runs in parallel with ICANN accountability. ICANN has told everyone, in fact, has announced that there would be an ICANN-wide working group that would be created in London, and it would meet in London and start its work in parallel with the IANA stewardship transition. This has not happened, and the latest feedback that I have received from Theresa Swinehart, who is in charge of both processes, is that they have collected the input that they have received in the first public comment process, which closed just before London or during London. They are still digesting this and are going to make an announcement within the next 10 days. In fact, that was a few days ago. So within the next 8 days, they will make an announcement on the creation of such an ICANN-wide working group. But in order to follow this working group, we usually have our own working group taking place and running in our own community so as to be able to formulate our input into these wider-ranging ICANN working groups. And the question here is whether we want to create a new working group on accountability for at-large, or do we want to make use of an already existing working group? And one of these working groups is the Future Challenges working group that has traditionally dealt with issues of accountability and ICANN accountability as a whole. There's a question on the table. I hope that I've framed the topic well. And I'll hand the floor over to Alan Greenberg, who might wish to add to this. Alan, you have the floor.
Yeah, two items. I guess my gut feeling is I have no problem with the Future Challenges Working Group doing this, obviously with amended membership for people who are interested in this particular subject. I'm getting the feeling, though, that we need to change the name, you know, to ICANN Strategic Issues Working Group or something like that. I'm not wedded to the name. But Future Challenges, this doesn't seem to be applicable to something which is right in the middle of our plate right now and everyone is talking about. That's number one. Number two, on the assumption that ICANN will form some sort of coordination group, call it what you will, we are going to have to identify members for it, presumably, either recommend or identify members, depending on what rules they come up with. And maybe this time we want to have that group ready to pounce before it's announced, so that it can start working immediately. Maybe it's a modification of the group you used for the IANA group, or maybe it's something different. But I think the ALAC needs to make a decision quickly, so we're ready to go immediately. There's likely to be very short lead time from the announcement of the structure of the group to till expecting people to be named. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Alan. I note green tick from Cheryl Langdonor, noting her agreement with us. Next is Holly Reich. Holly, you have the floor.
She may have been dropped.
You might be muted, Holly.
There was a note from Gisela saying they're calling her back.
Would you like us to call you back? Okay, excellent. So,
Olivier, Gisela here.
Go ahead, Gisela.
Sorry, just to say that Holly said asked. Holly's back on. She should be back on. We're dialing Holly back now, and she'll be dropping in 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. Before dropping, she needs to be back. Holly?
Hopefully I'm back.
Now you're back. Go ahead, Holly. Reich, you have the floor.
Okay, I am leaving in about 10 minutes. Okay, I'm leaving in about 10 minutes, but just to repeat what a conversation we had in the executive on accountability, there are a whole bunch of specific questions the board has asked for feedback on. So even though I agree with what Carlton's saying, we are accountability, there has to be somebody, some group, that formulates a response to what the board is asking. And the board is given a list of documents to read, some of which would be stuff that we've already read, or at least the thematic group four would have already read. The discussion that happened at the executive was, what's the best place to put this, or is it a separate working group? And we thought, well, future challenges already in its statement talked about accountability. It's not doing anything at the moment, so that would be a logical place to put this kind of group to say, this particular task is now part of the Future Challenges Charter, and I've drawn up a document that I've circulated anyway to describe what it is we do, but largely it's a working group to respond specifically to the work that's being done more broadly within ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Holly. It's Olivier speaking. So does anyone want to make a point with regards to having a separate working group created for this? At the moment,
Olivier?
I've heard... Yes, Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tijani speaking. The Future Challenge Working Group is done to have reflection without time constraints, without rushing about subjects that are for the future. The accountability, I am afraid it will be something that will be under high pressure of the time, because as Alan said, it will be we will be obliged to follow the pace of what is going on, and we need to have the deliverable at a certain time. So it will be very with a high pressure of time. So I want to emphasize this point. It will not be something that we can discuss with no pressure. It will be something under pressure. And I agree that the future challenge will be dealing with, but with the spirit that it is something very urgent, and we need to work with another spirit, not the spirit of the future challenge, the normal future challenge spirit. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Tijani. Any other comments on this? Holly Reich.
Yeah, probably just to say, in the discussions, the actual chair of the Future Challenges was Evan, and he was the one that suggested that this was exactly the sort of thing that the Future Challenges Working Group should take on, and he'd very much like to take on the task. So I frankly don't care if we have a new working group. It's simply that there's a working group that's not doing anything at the moment that does encapsulate the idea of accountability. If we want to create a new working group, fine. I really don't care. I'm just saying the chair of the working group thought this was a good thing. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Holly. Evan, would you like to say a couple of words, please, since you are the current chair, along with Jean-Jacques Subrena of the Future Challenges Working Group. There has been a mention of changing the name of the working group, plus also having a subset of that working group work on the on this topic of ICANN accountability. Evan Leibovitz, you have the floor. Is Evan able to speak? I know that he was over at the IETF in Toronto. I'm not sure whether he is able to speak, actually, and he has been having patchy internet connectivity as well, which is a shock for an IETF meeting, but there you go.
Olivier Giesler here.
Yes, Gisela, go ahead, you have the floor.
Sorry, just to say that Evan is only on Adobe Connect now, so if he is at the IETF, he is trying to use the Adobe, he'll be dialing in now.
Okay, he is dialing in now. I'm mindful of the clock that is ticking with all these technical problems we're having. I was going to, since we need to move quickly, and I understand we need to have an action right away, I was going to do a consensus call immediately after Evan speaking, and I was going to have the consensus call as being that the Future Challengers Working Group, or whatever name it will have to acquire, and that's a separate issue, the Future Challengers Working Group will be the home for the at-large discussions as far as ICANN accountability is concerned. Whether it decides to have a subsection of its membership dealing with this and whatever, that's something for the Future Challenges Working Group to work out. What Evan needs to be aware of is that there will be a number of people that will join that working group that will come in from the thematic working group four. Mm-hmm. There will also be likely a number of additional people from the at-large community who are interested in this. And this working group is going to have to act quickly as well and immediately and effectively really get down to work, since as soon as the accountability process discussions start ICANN-wide, it is expected that we will need to furnish results quickly. So,
Olivia, this is Evan. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. That's great. Just in time. So now you have
I apologize for the background noise. I'm actually on the floor of the conference.
Go ahead. Well, you're also on the floor of the at-large call, the ALAC monthly call. So
okay.
As long as you can speak to the right floor, that's correct. Go ahead.
Okay. So thanks, Olivier. And so essentially where I'm at, I'm perfectly okay with having either way, of having a separate working group or having it done through Future Challenges, repurposed, renamed, or whatever. I have a concern with bloat of working groups that are too numerous in number, but spread the same people around in different working groups. Accountability is a natural fit for Future Challenges because of the two papers that is put out. One was endorsed by ALAC, the R3 report. The other one was the document written by a number of people from Future Challenges Working Group, the Embracing ICANN's Interregulator that was submitted to the ATRT. So the group has been very active on accountability issues. As a co-chair, I would be delighted to take it on. In consideration of what Tijani had said, accountability is not just a working group. It's an ongoing thing that has to be baked into what ALAC does, into what ICANN does. So while being cognizant and active in the working group is going to be one of the important functions, I think the there's a benefit to having it in future challenges because it still does require onward, forward thinking, reaction to the short-term activity in the working group, but also consideration of other things that may in fact go beyond the scope of the particular working group. So so my answer to Jenny's concern is, yes, there's a short-term need, and there will be deadlines and pressure to be done in regard to the working group, but there's also an ongoing long-term need, and I think future challenges can help with both. Thanks.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan. All right, let's get moving. So I'm going to ask at-large staff to please make sure that we have enough ALAC members on the call to be able to perform a consensus call that will actually hold due to quorum issues. I know that Leon has had to drop off, and there are a couple of people who have mentioned they were not able to make it to this call for various issues. If I can check with staff, you have the floor.
Gisela, could you check this? Because I'm looking at the participants in the Adobe Connect on the agenda pod, and I know a few people that are listed there are not actually on the call. So I count 11.
As long as you
Heidi Giesler here. All the names that are involved are people on the call. Apologies, I have removed Russ and Jean-Jacques. So I'm looking at Catherine, Nat, Olivier, Evan, Tijani, Maureen, Sandra, Eduardo, Alan. Holly, unfortunately, has dropped. So Baron.
No, I'm still here.
Holly is still here.
I'm staying for this vote. Eduardo, Alan, Holly, thank you, Holly, Baron, nine, Dev, ten, one, three, four, seven, eight, nine. I count ten. And Fatima and Hadja? Sorry, Fatima is 11 and Hadja. Let me just confirm that Fatima and Hadja are still on. Just bear with me for a second and that would be
so we have quorum.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Olivia, we do have quorum, but we're just checking on the overall numbers.
But we don't have Leon, and I think that Gisela has said we have Leon, and we don't.
No, we don't have Leon.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Apologies. Just bear with me for a second. Gisela here, just checking on Hadja and Fatima. Hadja is on and muted,
and Fatima says she's on.
Is on as well. Thank you very much. Well,
okay. Thank you. I, as long as we've got more than eight people, that's fine. And so let's do a consensus call on this piece. For everyone, well, the idea, so here we go, the proposal is to have the discussions on accountability taking place within the Future Challengers Working Group, or whatever name that working group will take once it starts working on this. And so it's not a vote, it's going to be a consensus call. Is anyone opposed to having the accountability discussions that will feed into the overall ICANN accountability discussions or the overall ICANN accountability working group? Anyone opposed to having those discussions taking place in the Future Challenges working group? Going once, going twice. So by consensus, there has been a decision of the ALAC to have the discussions of ICANN accountability taking place within the Future Challengers Working Group. And I will therefore ask Evan and Jean-Jacques Subonat to please follow up pretty quickly on this. What I will do is to link you up with the discussions that are taking place, the discussions with Teresa Swinehart on the creation of the ICANN-wide accountability working group. And then also I will urge that you have perhaps a leadership meeting with staff or even a meeting of the working group itself to set your work plan and also to consider the suggestion of changing your name. But that comes as a separate work group issue that needs to do. And then thirdly,
if you could please update your front page. And once the front page is updated, you will have to also issue a call for participation in those accountability issues and to specifically invite the members of Thematic Working Group 4 to join in the discussions. What you do beyond that within the working group is your business.
Okay.
All right, let's get moving. And now we have items for discussion. A few more items before we reach the end of this call. First, the Atlas II debrief with myself and the Atlas II working group chairs. I was going to ask for reporting of each one of the components of the Atlas II. So these are the Atlas II organizing committee chairs. And unfortunately, do we have a link over to the different to the Atlas II organizing committee? Hopefully we've got a link to the Atlas II organizing committee so I know whom to call upon to ask. Here we go. We have a link that is absolutely useless to me, so I'll have to ask staff to let me know who the working group organizing committee chairs are and ask for the first one to let us know how that activity went in London.
Do you want me to start, Olivier?
If you're self-identifying yourself as a working group chair, then yes, Tijani, you may indeed. I understand you are a working group chair for several of the activities. So you have the floor. Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. I was in charge of the events, so I was the events working group chair. And I think that things went very well during the summit regarding rooms, organization. There was some small problems in timing because some sessions were shortened because of external constraints. But in general, there wasn't a big trouble in the organization of the meetings, in the meetings rooms, etc. Part of the events working group was given to Evan and Wolf, which is the thematic groups. So I will let Wolf speak about it or Evan.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Tijani. And let's then go over to Wolf, actually, who can probably cover on two things. First, the events that you mentioned there, but also the working group on the survey. Let's go through the whole events thing. So Wolf Ludwig or Evan Leibovich? Wolf is only on the Adobe Connect. Are you able to speak on the AC or not? If not, then I'll ask Evan Leibovich if he's able to provide us with some feedback on Atlas II. No? Okay, seeing lack of organization in this, unfortunately. We're going to have to look. Well, let's move through and see if staff can work out how you're going to present your activities. The next one is the sponsors working group. Atlas II sponsors, and I was chairing on this. As you know, we had several sponsors, Affiliates, PIR, and Google. They were absolutely great. They really made the difference in order to have at-large have some great events. Certainly the fair was really great. The whole program was really exciting, and I think that they were very well received. What I would suggest is that we continue keeping in touch with our sponsors and would be able to perhaps make use of them in a future at-large summit event or to even ask for them to support the more future events that we have in the meeting in Los Angeles and the meeting that will take place afterwards next year. On the logistics group,
I'm not sure that there was very much that was done as far as logistics were concerned. Eduardo and I were the two co-chairs. I know that some of the people in the events group worked very hard to organize some of the logistics as well, and we had a lot of help from staff regarding hotel, travel, etc. As you know, there were some issues with visas. Staff is following up with all of the people that have been that have had visa issues and that were not able to come. Unfortunately, even though staff worked enormous amounts to, and that went all the way up to Nigel Hickson, who used to be with the UK government and therefore had good links in the British government, our efforts didn't yield very many positive results, and as a result, we had 15 people that were unfortunately unable to come to London due to visa issues. I understand that Fadi Shehade is likely to follow up directly with each one of these people, and I might also do directly and apologize, although I have been in touch already with all of the people that were, or I think with all of the people that were concerned on this. Next. The public relations group, the PR group, was chaired by Murray McCursha. I don't know if we have Murray here on the call.
No. I can hear you. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Oh, Murray, yes, we can hear you. Fantastic. Sure. Welcome. Please, you have the floor then to let us know about what happened and how things could be improved. And I note also that Cheryl Engenor has put her hand up, so I'll hand the floor to Cheryl immediately after your feedback.
Murray, thank you very much, Olivier. It's Murray McCurter for the record. The Public Relations Working Group met frequently prior to the Atlas II summit. We were successful there was a bit of a pivot towards more social media work that we were involved with, as it is a component of public relations or public engagement. So we were successful in the respect that I had a number of connections with the Global Stakeholder Engagement Group and the Communications Group at ICANN under Jim Trengrove. Also, Chris Mondini and I were able to connect. And more recently, for North America, the global stakeholder engagement person, Joe Capitano, and I actually met at the IETF meeting here in Toronto yesterday. So from my perspective, it was successful. We are still putting together the metrics to give everyone a report on our social media metrics. I understand Ariel is not on the call today, so I won't speak on her behalf, but we'll certainly put a report on metrics out shortly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Murray. And so now, with apologies to Cheryl for having missed her putting her hand up, Cheryl Langdonor, you have the floor.
It's all right. It's all right, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. Olivier, I was actually going to say I'm in line, but I am actually next in line, so that's fine. What I wanted to do on this action item, because in fact, the work of the Return on Investments Group, as you all know, really kicks in now in this phase. We have a number of data points and metrics that have been collected throughout the London meeting, but we've yet to get to that data and do any analysis of it. But that obviously is work that's pending. What I wanted to do, particularly though, while you're asking for feedback from all of the chairs, from all of the working groups out of Atlas II, is it would be greatly appreciated, and bless you, Murray, because obviously your group's already doing it, if we could formalise a request here, Olivier, for a minimum of 300 to 500 word reporting, but no particular maximum. But I don't need, you know, tones. A piece of written feedback from each of the component working groups, in other words, everything but mine, that we can incorporate. And things like what Murray was just mentioning,
the specific metrics on social media, et cetera, et cetera. So the pluses, the minuses, what was happening. There will be a number of metrics, even out of things like survey groups, how many people, you know, did what with the survey does need to be reported on. So I'd like to be able to aggregate, as I say, a minimum 300 to 500 words from each of those working groups in a post-London event focus. So where we were meeting regularly and reporting on how they were going as we led up to London in a post-London focus. I'd like to have a snippet and however much information can be shared, which is probably going to be reporting and recorded for their own purposes anyway, but I particularly would like something from each of them to integrate into our ROI major report. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this update. Cheryl? So that was the return on investment group. That certainly has a lot of work ahead of it.
Yes, that should be an action item, Olivier, if I may. I'd like to make that a formalized action item on each of the other chairs.
Okay. Can you dictate it, please, to the record, then?
Certainly, that a specific piece of reporting, which should be a minimum of 300 to 500 words with no particular maximum, in a looking back on London Atlas 2 focus, be provided from each of the working groups in Atlas 2 to the return on investments working group for the purpose of integrating into their report or their main report, and a focus on metrics, analytics and numbers would be appreciated where relevant.
That's great, Cheryl. Thank you. Is this recorded well? I see with a focus on metrics. Yes. Okay. So that's on the action item. Thanks very much for this. And I'll let staff follow up with each one of the working group chairs on this, including some of the co-chairs. Now, the next one is the Atlas 2 Fair of Opportunities Working Group. And for this, Glenn McKnight was the chair of this. And I don't see Glenn on the Adobe Connect. Is he on the call?
Hello, this is Murray speaking for the record. If I can speak to Glenn's point.
Yes, go ahead, Murray. Murray McKersher, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Olivier. Glenn at the moment is also involved with the IETF, so I think that's probably why he's not on the call at the moment. We have had some internal discussions amongst the folks, so I think we'll just add that we will put a report into Cheryl. My sense was it was very successful. A little negative feedback was that we felt more time for social connecting and less speeches, or at least shorter speeches, was one of the comments that we had. But there was a lot of positive stuff that came out of that and some excellent video and social media that we can either reuse or repurpose. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this. Murray?
Olivier?
Tijani Benjamin, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I wanted to add that the most important achievement we had in the event working group was to have the fair of opportunities organized in this room. If we had it in the ALAC room, imagine what it could be. So I am so happy that we managed at the end to have this room to organize the fair of opportunity, which was from my point of view a great success. Even if, as Marie said, there was perhaps a longer speech that it was planned. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Tijani. And indeed, imagine with that many people having attended the fair, how that would have been in the ALAC room, which was about a third of the size of the room that we ended up having it in. So I think we have to be very thankful to meeting staff who finally managed to move things around and get us to have that large room. That, of course, was also made possible due to the moving from the Monday to the Tuesday. And again, that was also
thankfully possible because the Internet Society also moved their meeting from the Tuesday to the Monday. I know that it got a few people to really question why this was happening, but altogether I think it made for a better program and certainly a lot more success, if you want, at the fair and of all the activities that took place there. Next is the Atlas II Communications Working Group. And the three co-chairs of this are Carlos Aguirre, Maricarmen Sequeira, and Natalie Enciso. Do we have any of them on the call? Or would anyone be able to speak to this, please? I don't see anyone. Oh, there's Dave and Nancy Lixing. Dave, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is David Antiluxing. I'm just a member of the working group, not a chair. But what the communication working group did before this summit was to release of newsletters, four were released before the Atlas II meeting, and they also worked on a website. And Heidi has put the link in the chat to this website. And a lot, which collated a lot of the material related to the Atlas II summit. Also, what was also done was to highlight the and this is also piggybacking on the social media working group. Social media was used extensively throughout the Atlas II summit, and there was a lot of content shared over social media that was also reshared throughout the summit. So I think those are the key outcomes from the communications working group. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this update, Dave. Yes, indeed. It's Olivier speaking. Yes, indeed. The Atlas II website was a core component to the to our communications, and certainly the newsletters and all of the work that went into the communications really help in our at-large participants being able to participate more and understand more of what happened during the whole week. Eduardo Diaz, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to mention something about the Atlas website. That website is currently running in one of the servers that I use in my company. And I would like to, from staff, to see if there is a possibility we can move this to a more permanent place for future records. And if we can open an action item for that so I can follow up and make sure that something like that happens. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Eduardo. And could they relate directly back to you on this as well, please? That would be helpful. Next is the Atlas II Mentoring Program Working Group. And if I can find the right screen, there we go. The person who was the chair of that working group was Fatima Cambronero. And again, that was a very helpful group. Let's see if we have Fatima on the call. Fatima, you have the floor. Fatima Cambronero?
This is Fatima speaking. I was chair of this working group. Actually, the mentoring group has worked. It has worked especially for a group of people who has understood what were the objectives of this program and who collaborated in the program from the different instances that the program had. Then there was something that didn't really work for a group of people who didn't really understand the objectives and who did not want to collaborate with the program and who felt that this is contradictory because some people think about building community and when they are invited to do this in practice, they are not really interested in building that community and giving their input to that community, especially the new people who are being involved in a meeting for the first time. Then something I would also like to mention is that this group had a very large number of members, but unfortunately it was not a very active group there were very few people who effectively worked on the group, and in some instances I had to work on my own because I received no feedback from the group, which confirms what we have discussed before, in the sense that the smaller groups are the ones that work more properly and the ones that yield more results. I would also like to thank especially the support we had from staff for this program. In the beginning we had some communication issues, but then we overcame those issues and we have been able to work successfully in this program with a very good result. Then this program also proceeds to create a report that those who were mentees can prepare. We have not received these so far, and we have also opened a web page to receive feedback from the program to improve it for the following edition. So we have decided to do this to see what has and what has not worked. We have not received comments on this. I need to excuse myself because after the London meeting, I had no vacation. I went directly to work on the IEGF meeting, and I could not really follow up these issues. I will try to follow them from this week on. And also, well, that's all for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this, Fatima. And yes, there was certainly a lot of activity, and I think the program itself works very well. Certainly the Return on Investment Working Group is going to issue this survey, and hopefully we will be able to get more feedback from the participants of Atlas II, and I therefore hope that there will be a significant section that will be relating to the mentoring program and how to improve it. I note that earlier Wolf Ludwig could not be on, could not speak. I wonder if, Wolf, you are able to speak now on the survey group? So Wolf probably unable to do so. I can't hear him. So Eduardo Diaz, I guess, as the overall chair of all chairs in Atlas II, you have your hand up, and obviously we have to defer over to you for the closing words on the Atlas II working groups. Eduardo Diaz.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. Yes, I want to share some of my thoughts about the organizing of the overall meeting. Basically, the way I architect the organization, I think it worked very well. Maybe we can tune up for future Atlas meetings, you know, how we interact. You know, when we set up these groups, we created many groups to do the specific parts that needed to be done for the event. And one of the things that I learned from this is that maybe a more effective way of doing that in the future is, on, instead of looking and creating new groups, is to use some of the already in-place groups as much as possible, and maybe invite people to participate on those. That is because there's already a structure there that can be used more effectively. The issue about co-chairs and chairs, and this doesn't have to do with the Atlas II you know, specifically, but one of the things that I found is that when you have, if you don't have a chair and you have several chairs managing a working group, really there is not a specific focus as to who is managing this, and going forward. In any of the groups, we should have a chair assigned to the group, and then co-chairs to support the chairs on those things that the chair cannot do. And this is something that I found very interesting when I was dealing with groups that have more than one. You know, we have multiple co-chairs and not chairs. The issue that Fatima mentioned about having a lots of volunteers, you know, signing up for groups. I mean, that part of the things that I wanted to do was exactly that, to bring new people and into helping in putting together the event, mostly because you know, to give these new people a feeling on how, you know, we work in ICANN. and also to bring them on after the ALDAS and LASU. Unfortunately, not only in ALDAS but in many groups, I have seen, that the work is performed only by a few of the people in the overall working groups, and maybe we have to rethink how we assign things to people. Maybe we may want to assign specific small action items to people and make them responsible, just to make sure that they're engaged. And I also, just to finalize, the thing about the newsletter, I think we should continue put a newsletter, an ALAC newsletter or an at-large newsletter, at least every 3 months. And the reason behind that is just it's a good way of keeping engaged and in communicating with the at-large out there of the things that we're doing. If people don't get involved with these calls or they don't read the emails, at least they will be able to read concise newsletter that will tell them some of the important things that are happening at at-large. With that, I want to thank everyone in ALAC and everyone in the call and everyone to make this ALDAS 2 a successful event. And also, also that includes the staff, which, it needs to be there and supported this event as a whole. So thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for this, Eduardo. That's certainly a very good summary of all of the work that has taken place. And I'm very glad to note that this call is recorded and will be transcribed. I think possibly the part of the meeting, the ALAC call that we have today, the transcript should be put in our follow-up for our future generations of ATLAS organizers to be able to reflect upon and read, and certainly some lessons learned in that. That, of course, will all be in the hands of the Return on Investment Working Group. I think as a coordinating body for the Return on Investment and the feedback, and as Cheryl mentioned earlier, the 300 to 500 summary to be provided by each of the ATLAS 2 group chairs. We really need to put together a set of, not recommendations, but certainly a repository, for all of that information. I note that Wolf Ludwig is back online, is actually on the call now. So Wolf, a quick feedback on the survey working group, please.
Well, since Wolf Ludwig speaking for the records, there is not much to say because the work of the first working group, the survey group, was accomplished last year already. It started after the Durban meeting in July 2013, and we had a first draft of a survey which was discussed in the group, which was modified and which was accomplished, to my memory, end of August or in September. Then it was translated into the key languages and it was circulated in October. And afterwards, we have given a certain period. I think it was extended until up to 3 weeks, and the survey was accomplished in November. Therefore, this was a precondition, as we discussed before, supposed to be relevant for the program setting of the ATLAS 2 agenda. And I think the results were quite relevant for the future planning of the ATLAS 2 agenda. The only problem we had at the end, to my memory, is compiling the results of this survey, which was unfortunately not possible to get it in a completed way. So we had quite some work at the end in November and December. We had to subdivide tasks in the working group to come up with somehow readable or analyzable outcomes. At the end, what was a bit painful in my opinion, but finally we got those results in a way which were useful for the further planning. This, according to my memory, was more or less the most important thing to report from the survey group.
Thank you very
much. If you have any further questions, please let me know.
Okay, well, thank you very much for this report. And with this, I would like to ask for an electronic round of applause for all of the working group organizing chairs. The amount of work that has been done by this community and by these chairs with their working group has been absolutely amazing. So a quick vote of a round of applause and a special e-medal for Eduardo Diaz for his great organizational skills in getting this whole pyramid of work to start and to deliver in such a successful way. So we are all very gratefully indebted to Eduardo Diaz for this really great leadership that he has shown in this organization of that last week. Now, let's move on. Yes, we're not reached it. We haven't reached the end of this call. We are now at the two-hour mark, and I did tell you earlier this was going to be a long call. Hopefully we can go through the last items on the agenda a little bit faster. Now, the INS stewardship transition update, I was hoping for Jean-Jacques Subrana and Mohamed El Bashir, who are the two representatives of the at-large community on the coordination group that has been created by ICANN and who were in London last week for two long, excruciating days of discussion. I was hoping for them to be on the call. Are they on the call by any chance? Have we managed to get hold of them?
Olivier Gisler here.
Go ahead, Gisler.
Unfortunately, neither on the call, and we can't get hold of them.
Okay, that doesn't matter. Let me then, Olivier speaking, let me just do a quick update then on these things. So there are three things. First, the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INF function. What's happened is first meeting, face-to-face meeting of all of the different participants has taken place in London on Thursday and Friday last week. The meeting was open electronically for remote participation, and there was a good discussion that was had by all the participants over there. And so the ad hoc working group, which we have put together now, is basically feeding the input into the coordination group meeting. And so I'm going to ask for more people from at-large, from the at-large community, to take part in these discussions. At the moment, we haven't got that many members, and the more we are digging into this, the more it looks as though there's going to be an enormous amount of work involved. The reason is as follows. Several of the participants in the coordinating group are working in their own community at the moment to try and come up with a proposal that will satisfy the request from the U.S. government with regards to the whole process of transition of U.S. government stewardship. I know that the IETF is working on the one hand in their own processes. The regional internet registries are working in the other on the other side. In fact, there are several functions that seem to be happening with directly involved parties. So, for example, the numbering part of the INA contract, so the IP addressing, etc., is dealt with primarily by the ASO, and also, as a result, is being dealt with by the regional internet registries. The protocol part of the function, the INA function, is taken care of by the IETF, the Internet Engineering Task Force. And the names part of the U.S. government stewardship, of the INA function, is dealt with by the country code name supporting organization and the generic name supporting organization. The process by which proposals will be brought forward appears to be pointing to the direction that each of the component organizations is going to come up with a proposal, and the coordination group will group those proposals together and then send them on over to the U.S. government. The process by which this will take place is still a little bit unclear, because what happens if there is no consensus? What happens if other participants in the coordinating body do not agree with this? Big question marks, not many answers at the moment. What is true at the moment is that having followed the discussions that are taking place in the other component parts of this coordination group, so for example, the IETF discussions or the IAB, the Internet Architecture Board discussions, they are looking at their set of contracts with ICANN and with IANA, and they're looking at it on a purely contractual basis on the functions and saying, well, we can assume this function without the need of the U.S. government to be involved with this. And so the focus is primarily on ICANN's accountability with regards to the U.S. government and how to keep ICANN accountable on a wider basis. And I've read on several occasions now that, in effect, accountability only relates to the names, the domain names, because ICANN is the only organization that deals with policy and implementation and operational matters under the same roof. That has also brought some calls for some people saying, well, these should be separated. We're still in the early days, and there still seems to be some confusion as to how the policy will be developed. But it seems that this division of the different tasks is one way that has been brought forward. As far as the end user is concerned, I'm afraid to say that so far we've seen very little interest from any of the other participants to serve the end user. And this is why I'm making such a point of it here, that we need to be involved with more people. Because what we might have to do is to actually send people to those other fora, to the Internet Engineering Task Force, to the IAB, to the Regional Internet Registry policy discussions, and actually press for the end-user component in those fora, rather than waiting at the very end. Plus, in addition to this, we also need to work on our side and make a proposal ourselves. Admittedly, the whole INA function and the transition of U.S. government stewardship is a very complex issue. It's not going to be possible for one or two or three people to look at this and to produce results and to produce solutions. And I'd like to really urge that we get at least 10 to 15 people that will be able to really know what they're doing, so learn about this and take on the task of then being our representatives in those different fora and then relate back. If we don't do this, I have a real concern that the end-user component, the serving of the public interest, which is a significant part of what the U.S. government has been doing in stewarding the INA function, is something that will be completely destroyed and completely ignored. And certainly, I know of at least one discussion that is currently taking place in the IETF mailing list, where Avery Doria has mentioned that the stewardship, the component, the accountability component of stewardship was really important. And the response has been overwhelmingly against it, which I just find absolutely mind-boggling, and this is why I think it's important for us to do something about this. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Thank you. A couple of thoughts. First of all, your suggestion that we have people involved in the various other discussions, I think, is a really good one, and I think we need to push. I'm afraid it's not. It may not happen organically if we simply say it and expect it to happen. We may need to buttonhole people who we think are good fits to try to make sure that we have a voice, or at the very least an ear in the other discussions that are going on. I'm not sure it is entirely bad, although I'm not against us coming up with a proposal of our own. I'm not sure it's entirely bad that we don't. There is not really a user component in the IANA work, you know, for the same reason that we weren't in some of the battles, some of the original panels. It is very much a public interest thing and not necessarily a user thing. And it's not clear that we.
And it's not clear that we.
Echo. One of the domains.
One of the domains.
But I do think we have an audit role at the very least. Can someone try to fix that echo?
I think that comes from Julie Hammer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think we do need to get actively involved. If we come up with a proposal, if we want to try to formulate one, fine. If we don't, we need to get involved early. I personally expect, you know, it would be nice to think that everything that's going to come to the group, to the coordination group, is going to fit together nicely like parts of a jigsaw puzzle, and they will just pass it on. I think all of us worked really hard to try to get good people we trust in this group, because there's at least some expectation that there will be controversy, that there will be decisions to be made, and people are going to have to fight, perhaps, for the issues that are important to them. And certainly from our point of view, it's not our part of the pie, because we don't have one as such, but looking at user and public issues. So I think we need to actively get involved. We need to do it quickly, and we need to keep our finger on the pulse of where things are going. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this point of view, Alan. That's very helpful. And I was going to add one more concern that I've had, which is to hear from several participants that end users are not directly involved. The public interest is not something that's directly involved, because this is just a clerical function. And it's you know, clerical functions are not political functions at all. And I'm absolutely amazed when I hear this, and at the same time I hear the hypocrisy of those participants when they want the secretariat, you know, people that basically send the emails out and create web pages, the secretariat to be completely independent of ICANN, because they think that having an ICANN secretariat would actually be a political thing. That is just unbelievable, and I wanted to put that over to the record, because it's one of the things that has been having my blood boil, as to saying, well, clerical functions are not political.
Olivier?
So we've had Julie Hammer, and then we have Tijani Benjema after Julie. Julie Hammer, you have the floor.
My apologies. I thought it's Julie speaking. I didn't think that Tijani was still on the call, so I was going to give you an update on the drafting team for the CCWG, but with Tijani on the call, I will leave that to him.
Okay. Thanks for this,
okay.
Julie.
Thanks for this, Julie. Tijani,
thank you very much, Olivier.
Tijani speaking.
There is still an echo.
There is still an echo.
With Julie Hammer.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So you had concerns, and I have also concerns, and I share your concerns. One of the aspects of this, neglecting the public interest or the user's interest, is the fact that we are more or less going toward groups dealing only with the naming surfaces of the arena functions, because it seems that standards and numbers, people are working alone without any input from the users. And for example, for our the cross community working group, we are working on the charter. And the first draft of the charter said that our work would be restricted to the naming service. And I opposed with a lot of strength, and I was supported by Avery, because if we do so, that means that it will not be a cross-community working group, it will be a GNSO to a CTNSO working group. And that means that the protocols and the numbers services of the IANA function will not be discussed inside this group, and our only chance to have inputs is in this cross community working group. So we will only have comments or have inputs regarding the naming services only. So this is one of the most clear aspects of this this mess, this kind of seeing this transition as a technical transition only, while it is not at all. There is another thing that was raised during the drafting team, during the drafting team call. It was raised by VeriSign, saying that the maintainer function, which is done by VeriSign, will not be among the work of this cross-community working group, since there is no contract between VeriSign and ICANN for this. And I also opposed, and I said that the transition, the NTAA said that they wanted to transition their stewardship on IANA functions, and the transition is for the whole IANA functions, including the maintainers. So it must be inside our remit, and we are still discussing the point, but I think that we managed not to let them remove it from the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Tijani. It's Olivier speaking, and very interesting, actually. I was not aware of these discussions within the drafting team for the cross-community working group. Certainly, the naming services being the only topic of the ICANN cross-community working group is something that I've heard. So it will be cross-community working group, but only on naming services. And this is why I think that we should really seriously consider having people that are knowledgeable of the other policy discussion fora, and therefore having people on the IETF discussions and people in the RIR discussions. Alberto, you're next.
This is Alberto Soto for the record. I do agree with the fact that we need to have a position, a point of view, a statement. We are end users that are representing end users, and that's true. The end user does not participate in this debate, but it is us, with our knowledge, with the knowledge that we have regarding our work and the representation that we have, the ones that need to participate and represent. So it is very important to get feedback from each and all the working groups. And I would also say that there are many meetings in relation to the transition of the ANF functions where the ICANN is participating and many other organizations are participating. So this is a broad topic, and there is no single conclusion from one working group. We need all the opinions for this topic. We need more opinions in relation to this topic. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Alberto. Did I hear Murray McKersher earlier? Or
Yes, thank you, Olivier. It's Murray, if I could make a comment or observation.
I'll put you in the queue, because first we had Alan Greenberg, and then you'll speak after Alan. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you. I'm not sure if I don't understand or the situation is somewhat surreal. To have the cross-community working group only looking at naming issue, at name-related issues, does that mean it also looks at issues of confidence and oversight if necessary and, safeguards? If it does, then they really apply to the overall process, and saying it's naming issues is really not really relevant, because it is going to look at the other issues. It won't look. It may not look at the number issues and the protocol issues, but it will look at naming issues and the overall process. So if that's the case, then I think it's moot, and it's a matter of nomenclature. And yes, you can say it's only looking at naming issues, but if it's also looking at the overall, cross issues, then it's fine. If indeed it's only going to look at the naming issues and not the overall issues related to confidence in the process and oversight and things like that, then it has no meaning at all. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. I was going to give the floor either to Tijani or to Julie Hanna to respond directly to this. But I heard Tijani and then Julie.
Okay, thank you. Alan, this is the consensus that we reached at the end. It will be we will be addressing the naming services, but not restricted to that. It will be mainly about the naming services, but not restricted to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Julie Hammer?
That is just what I was going to say as well, Olivier. Julie speaking.
Okay, thank you, Julie. But neither you nor Tijani have basically said, will the overall stewardship be looked at by this working group? Because you've said certainly the naming issues will be looked at and will be studied, but the overall stewardship, who deals with the overall stewardship? This group doing? Julie?
Yes, Julie speaking. There are 11 defined IANA functions that are defined in the contract. And 9 of them are distinctly related to naming, and the other 2 are not directly related to naming. And what is currently being looked at in the charter is that the working group will primarily focus on the 9 related to naming, but that will not preclude them commenting and providing input on issues related to the other 2 functions or indeed, I believe, to anything else that they consider relevant. So I don't think the charter is going to preclude that, but the charter does state that there is a primary focus on the naming functions. At this point in time, the charter's not yet complete.
Okay, thanks, Julie. Tijani, did you have anything to add to this?
No, it's exactly what she said. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Tijani. Murray McCursor, you have the floor, and with apologies to you for pushing you back in the queue. Murray.
That's fine, Olivier. It's Marie McCurcher for the record. I'm sorry I'm not on OB Connect. Couldn't raise my hand, so interrupting. Regardless, I just a few observations have, as I am sitting in Toronto at the moment, with respect to the IETF, so the Internet Engineering Task Force. There is a, first of all, there was a group of folks from ICANN, a small table in regards to IANA participating at liaising with the IETF community to handle any questions that may arise from a technical perspective. So I thought that was a very good sign that they were participating. Also, there is a session Thursday, a general session on IANA
and NTIA taking place on Thursday, which I'm trying to get in to attend and can report back. And also Evan is participating, wearing multiple hats from his ISOC perspective and obviously connections with ICANN. So at least at some point there are some end-user people observing the process here in Toronto. I just want to let everyone know that. That's very positive. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this update, Murray. And yes, that's great to have so many people at the IETF, and certainly keep your ears open for all of the sessions that will deal with this. I think there are several sessions that will deal with this topic, and it's going to be interesting to see the direction that this is taking. Now, as an update on the coordination group London meeting, just one more thing I have to add, which will not make us feel that great. Jean-Jacques Subrenard made a very good opening speech, if you want, on the at-large perspective, looking specifically at the fact that the working group itself is multi-stakeholder, but is still very much influenced in the number of nationality of participants as being U.S., I think nearly half of the participants are U.S.-based, and the rest being scattered a little bit around the world. And he tried to give a sense of the bigger picture with regards to the overall accountability of all of those processes and of the rest of the world looking at ICANN and looking at the component parts of the multi-stakeholder system to provide a greater sense of globalization of the functions and so on. I have spoken to Jean-Jacques since, and he had absolutely no response from anyone on this coordinating group, which was quite disappointing. It seems to have been completely ignored in a way, rather. Mohamed El-Bashir has also pushed for this. We still have to try and gain some traction on that, and clearly it's not going to be an easy way forward. What I would suggest is that the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the IANA function, our own working group, should have a call very soon to try and devise a strategy moving forward. And of course, ahead of the cross-community working group on a stewardship transition, which will be created very soon, as soon as the charter is drafted. Another proposal from Jean-Jacques with regards to the number of co-chairs or vice-chairs of that main working group, of the coordination group. At the moment, out of all of the people who have put their name forward to be a co-chair, only Jean-Jacques has put his name forward, and only Jean-Jacques is a non-U.S. national. And so he has asked or suggested that I write to the current interim chair of the coordinating group and basically point this out and point that the optics of having only U.S. nationals chair or co-chair that working group would be creating very much damage with regards to the overall legitimacy of this whole process. Transferring control from U.S. government stewardship to U.S. industry stewardship is probably not going to please a number of countries around the world. And we always have to remember the primary reason for this whole change was that originally there was always a plan for this stewardship to be transferred over to and transferred out, if you want, of the U.S. government hands. But the catalyst for it happening so fast is a political thing, as we all know, with Snowden and with the loss of trust that the United States has suffered because of the Snowden revelations. To be continued, and the working group is currently discussing the issue of sending that email over to the chair, the interim chair of the coordination group. Again, I invite all of you who are interested in these issues to join the working group, the at-large ad hoc working group on these issues, and engage in the discussions. Finally, moving on. Oh, I see still Alan Greenberg still has his hand up. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. Just the point on this co-chair issue. Having served as a co-chair or vice chair on roles like that, you know, the latest being the ATRT, but that's not the only one. Diversity is important, but having people who are capable and willing to put the time in and to take the role of running a group like this is really important. So it's really more than a matter of just making sure you have diversity. It's really making sure we pick someone who isn't just there for the diversity, but can actually do the role. Otherwise, you're putting in jeopardy the possibility of this group actually coming up with some usable outcome. So it's a difficult problem.
Yes, thank you for this, Alan. But you know, the point was to try and push for Jean-Jacques Subrenard to be one of the co-chairs.
No, I understand, but his statement was somewhat stronger than that, and it's really more an issue of just diversity. It's a matter of getting the right people on the job.
Tijani.
Okay, point noted. Tijani Benchemal.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Alan, yes, you're right, but we need both. We need the dedicated chair to make the meeting and the group reaching the good results, but also we need diversity, because if we have a third of the group from the United States, more than the third, they are 11 over 30. So more than a third of the group are from the United States, plus one from Canada, it is 12 from North America. So it is, if we have this amount of people from the same region, and you have the chairs, or the co-chairs from the same region, I think the result will be biased. At least, even if it will not be biased, people will think that it will be biased. This is an important point that we have to take into account. I wanted also to say, Olivier, that for the cross-community working group, we in the drafting team, we envisioned the case that we can some administrative work for the cross-community working group can start before ending the charter, because time is of very little sense in this case. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Tijani. I realize we are now 2.5 hours into this call, which is a very long call. We need to do to cover a few more items on our agenda. And so in closing off to this, let's follow up on the web. We know where we're going now, and I see there's really good interest in that topic. At large, working group updates, working group chairs. We've got two very quick working group updates as to next steps. First, the Academy Working Group, Sandra Hofer-Richter. I realize we actually spoke very briefly about this earlier, but Sandra, you have the floor if you need to add any more to what we discussed earlier with regards to the Academy Working Group.
Thank you, Olivier. It's Sandra Hofer-Richter speaking for the record. Well, as I mentioned earlier, there needs to be some more follow-up to be my side, and now that staff is pull back in from vacation. But one thing I want to raise here at your large call is that the call for participants, as we agreed it in London, will be out by the end of this week, latest next week. And we urge you to select or elect your people in your region as we agreed in London. Just for you to remember, we agreed that each region is nominating one experienced and one incoming leader. And the ALAC will finally decide the composition of the five candidates which are going to be sent from the ALAC. We'll stop. So please follow up on this when the RALO chairs receive an email or when the call is done on each RALO list, so that we can actually proceed with the procedure rather quickly then. Everything else, there is not much new. The program was introduced the new program, which is slightly revised to last year already in London. And the next important step are indeed the participants. And here I ask for your help and cooperation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for this, Sandra. And I draw the attention of participants to this call on the Adobe Connect. The point that Heidi has made in selecting your participants to the ACSO leadership orientation, please note they must have travel support to the Los Angeles meeting, ICANN 51. They're covered only for the additional days of accommodation, and they are also covered for a stipend for the orientation days that they're going to be in Los Angeles. But if they are not part of the supported travelers to ICANN 51, then it's going to be impossible to have them there. Now, the next working group update is the one on the board member selection process committee. Yes, this has been a few months since we since the at-large community selected its 2014-2017 board director. But as you know, there needs to be a follow-up on the process itself. How can we make that process better? And Tijani Benjema, as the chair of the board member selection process committee, is going to speak to us briefly about this. What happens next? Tijani Benjema, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. We will have a call, a joint call between the BCEC and the BMSPC members in the first week of August to discuss the issues that worked well, the issues that didn't work well. This is for the sake of having a final report for the 2014 selection. And before that, I will ask by email all the candidates to give us their issues, the points that they want to raise for this round of selection. I will also need the help of Alan Greenberg and Shirin Landonor, because they have the expertise and the experience. And I will need their point of view. We will need their point of view, and I will send them an email to ask them for input prior to the call we will have on the first week of August. And after this call, we will proceed to write the final report, and then I will come back to Alan and Cheryl so that we try to have something very well done, and that relates all things that we, all problems that we faced, and all things that worked well, and with the help of Alan and Cheryl, perhaps we will have, because they have the experience of the last round, so we will have perhaps a better report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tijani. And just one question. Will you be also interviewing the candidates themselves to find out how things went for them in this process?
That's what I said. It's the first thing. It will be in the next few days. I will send an email to all candidates asking them about
all
their
of them.
Feedback.
Okay, all of them. Okay.
Excellent. All of them, without exception.
Okay, that's fantastic. And just for the record, the BCC is a Board Candidate Evaluation Committee. That was the committee which selected the shortlist of candidates in going into the selection process.
Great. Olivier, it's Murray speaking. Can I just make a comment?
Yes, Murray McKercher, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Murray McKercher for the record. So I was part of the BCEC process, and we had a lot of discussions about improving and evaluating. Roberto Gassiano was the chair of that group, and he and I met briefly, and we certainly are looking forward to providing feedback to the process and improving it for the next time. So if there's any questions in that regard, I'm happy to field those now or later. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Murray. That's very helpful. We are running out of time, so we'll leave that process to move forward with Tijani very carefully driving it forward. And as far as we're concerned, we have to move on through our agenda number 11, ALAC liaison to the GAC, next steps. And I'll do a quick intro and then open the floor. And I think that Alan came back with an answer for this one. So there were calls in London for the ALAC to get in touch with the GAC and ask for a liaison with a liaison position on the GAC in the same manner as the GNSO has now, or looks now as though they will get a liaison position with the GAC. However, the process is a little bit different, and Alan Greenberg is going to explain to us what the bottom line is with regards to this. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I guess two major points. Number one, the GNSO liaison to the GAC is an interim test for 1 year, so we cannot assume that it's a permanent thing. And number two, it was put in place or agreed to address some very real operational problems, which at this point the ALAC doesn't really have with the GAC. So I would think it is premature. It's certainly reasonable to discuss this with GAC leadership, but I would think it would be premature to do anything formal until the GNSO position is in place, and at the very least, if not the year is up, then we see how it is working and, get a feeling for that. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. I also recall, it's Olivier speaking, I also recall there was discussion on the accountability and transparency review team recommendation mentioning that the GAC should have early engagement and should consider having what they call reverse liaisons with all supporting organizations and advisory committees.
I don't recall whether it was with all. It was certainly with the GNSO. And what they were calling, what the GAC was calling reverse liaison was indeed what we're talking about now, because originally the GAC has had on the books a liaison to the GNSO, which stopped being in effect a number of years ago. So what they were calling the reverse liaison is indeed the liaison from the GNSO we were talking about. I really don't recall whether the ATRT made the recommendation for the other groups or not. If so, then it is an accepted ATRT2 recommendation, and we can presume there will be some action on it over the next year. But I'd have to check to see whether that really was in one of the final recommendations or not. I'm reasonably sure there was a GNSO implication in it, but I'm not sure if it was wider. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alan. So the bottom line really is that maybe we can bank this suggestion for the future, and in a future meeting with the GAC, we can inquire as to how warm they feel about asking for a liaison with the ALAC. But certainly it would be absolutely premature today with all of the political dimensions and all the things that are taking place at ICANN to demand a position on the GAC and to demand to ask for a liaison. And just to update you on previous discussions with the GAC chair and with the ALAC leadership and GAC leadership, there had been a very light discussion on having a strong link between the GAC and the ALAC, and consensus was that the leaderships are already working well together. There was no need to establish a more heavy process by which the GAC and the ALAC would relate to each other, at least not right away. Let's move to the next agenda item. That's number 12, timetable of ALAC and endorsement of 2015 ALAC delegates to the NOMCOM. So the NOMCOM is the nominating committee. The ALAC or the at-large community, the ALAC has the ability to have five delegates sitting on this nominating committee, and the nominating committee selects people to go on the ICANN board, people to go in the CCNSO council, the GNSO council, and also on the ALAC as well. This process is a yearly appointment process, and in general, people... Sorry for the noise in the background. In general, people are... It's not very helpful. In general, people are supposed to go and hold on to the position for 2 years unless their performance has not been particularly good in the first year, in which way the RALOs are informed about the performance of their member on the of their nominee on the nominating committee. The feedback I have received from the chair of the nominating committee was that the performance of our nominees was absolutely outstanding, therefore, yes, sir, Cheryl happens to be on there. And so we have, out of the five people that are currently there, and unfortunately I cannot access the page which is referenced to on the agenda, because it seems to, I seem to not have the authorization to do so, and I don't know why. It's one of these things. Out of the five people, three of them are eligible for another term, and if I recall correctly, the three that are eligible for another term are the Neuralo representative, that's Louis Hun, mm-hmm. Afralo representative, Fatimata Sayasila,
yep.
The Apiralo representative,
okay.
Is not.
Yes, is.
Is as well, yes. Okay, I'm just doing this from memory because I don't have any of the information in front of me. And then the two that are that have finished their term are the Uralo representatives. And so the Uralo General Assembly that took place in London discussed the matter and decided to, by consensus, have Irio Lentiporo being selected on their in that position, and Lacralo representative has also reached a term limit, and so there needs to be a request, I guess, from all of the RALOs to supply the names of their representatives, and it looks as though four out of the five RALOs have already made their choice. Am I missing anything in this? Cheryl, perhaps?
No, Cheryl, for the record. Cheryl, for the record, I think you have it absolutely perfectly wrapped up there. We need only find now from, should the ALAC wish to wait for the advice from Lacralo, and you are encouraged to do exactly that. You're encouraged, as ALAC makes the decision, you are encouraged in your rules to ask for suggestions from Aralo. So Lacralo needs to give you some names. Of course, you are not limited to those names. But it seems to me that by the 15th of August, you only need to sort out an appointment for one region.
That's great. Thank you very much for this, Cheryl. It's Olivier speaking. And yes, just for the record, so Louis Hull was selected again for another year, and same also for Satish Babu for AP Rallo. So staff will be following up on this process imminently, and I think that then takes us to the any other business part of this call that is going to reach nearly 3 hours. Is there any other business? Any other points to be discussed? Well, I must say I'm very impressed with the number of people who have lasted to be so long on this call. I also have to absolutely thank the interpreters for having remained the extra amount of time beyond the two-hour limit. It's very helpful. And in particular to...
Hello?
We lost you?
Olivier.
Oh dear.
The pier. Okay. He's tired. He's finished now. Olivier?
And I was dropped. It's Olivier speaking.
Okay. Voilà.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I've just jumped onto Adobe. I'm thanking the interpreters, and I was thanking in particular the Russian interpreter who had to deal for so long and interpret for such a long length of time. Obviously, I have to not thank Swisscom for having just disconnected me, but that's just a standard thing. Thanks to all of you for having lasted so long. Thanks to the at-large staff, and this call is now finally, you'll be glad to hear, adjourned. Good morning, good
Thank
afternoon, good
much.
Evening.
Bye-bye.
And
thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.